Well, I got to get on, got to hurry. We got some important things today. A giraffe's having a baby, and we got to go top of the river. 3,000. How many people is watching the giraffe have a baby? No, I'm talking about in the world. I mean,
3,500.
We are in a mess as a society.
387,000
now. So I don't know if they realize this, but giraffes have babies all the time. But it is what that is, I guess. Have any prayer requests this morning? I want to continue to remember our Bible reading. Be coming up pretty quick. Excited about it. We've already got our time locked in. And anybody that wants to, that hadn't signed up, we can make a spot for you. We can make that happen. Also, remember our service today, and remember those that are sick. And remember, Stephanie's working. She got up this morning and had 8 tests to do before she even went in, so she was all depressed early this morning. But y'all remember her. She's wore out this week. Do you have any more prayer requests? Were y'all quiet?
The horse barrel.
Remember that. Can you remember Scott? He had a little more surgery last week. They didn't have to take as much of his foot off as they thought they would again, just trim the bone a little bit for the infection. And he's still hanging in there. So y'all continue to pray for him that he'll heal and get home. I know he's wanting to be home. He ain't been home many days since November. Probably 4 or 5 days since November. I know he's wore out. So y'all remember him and his family.
Remember the Sims family in Clay County? They're the 2-year-old boy with cancer.
Yeah. Y'all might remember that family and remember him. I'll announce it in our announcements also, but I want you to be praying for, we're going to ordain some deacons here coming up soon, be the 12th of March, so be much in prayer for that and for them as they get into the deacon ministry, and we'll get them busy. Any other prayers? Have anything, Brandon? Will you lead us, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we are so blessed, Father, to be able to have opportunities like we have now, God, to come before you and God, just to talk to you. Father, this morning we want to lift up all the prayers and requests that were mentioned, Father, that you know each and every one of them, Father, and you know what the needs are for each of those, God, and we pray that if it be your will that you would meet those this morning. Father, we pray for our church service this morning, God, as we draw closer to one another. We pray that we approach worship, approach the sermon this morning with open ears, open hearts, and open minds to what you would have to say and teach us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. Well, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe.
Your presence,
Again, Draft had that baby yet?
They haven't turned the live video off.
They turned the live video off for church service. This morning, the Lord's laid a message on my heart that's a very familiar story, very familiar scripture. You have probably heard it preached about and taught about for as long as you've been in church. It's about a man named Lot. He was a man a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about, but I think the Bible's pretty clear when it states Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a saved man. You don't think about Lot being that when you read about where he was at in his life, but I want you to just listen a little bit this morning as I preach about the collapse of a righteous man. Collapse of a righteous man. I don't put a lot of titles with sermons, but this morning it has to have this one because it was slow. It was a slow collapse. And in Genesis chapter number 19, as they pull that up there, when you begin thinking about Lot, and you read, and I'll give you a little background, he began on the journey with his uncle Abraham, going to a land where they knew not. And they got to a certain place, and they saw that Lot had much cattle, and his Abraham had much cattle, and began getting a little fussing going on between him and his uncle and their herdsmen, or not him and his uncle, but the herdsman was fussing, and to keep any unrest down, Abraham allowed him to choose any land he wanted. And we know the story from there. It begins going downhill where Lot chose what looked to be the best. And, I have found in my life, and some of y'all older ones here probably found, that every time the grass looks greener, you got to be careful. Because we know what makes grass grow, don't we? Maybe a septic tank under it. The grass looks green on the other side, young ones, you better do some checking out. It's not always what it appears. But the collapse of a righteous man in Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 1, says, "And there came two angels to Sodom, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in to him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake, and unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Boy, that's a sad statement right there. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn. He will needs be a judge now. Will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door.
But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and they shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou any here besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. For we destroy this place because of the cry of them that is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Father, we thank you for this scripture. Lord, we thank you for today. Father, we ask you to touch our body this morning, touch our lips that we may speak your word. Lord, I ask there be one in our midst that don't know you, Father. They will before we leave this place. Father, I pray if there's one here that has begun a collapse, Father, that we will see the decay and we will stop it before it's too late. Lord, I ask you to be with us through this message. I ask you to touch this morning, help take our minds off of everything going on around us and put our minds on you for just a little bit. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I found a story that goes along that illustrates the story of Lot, which you can't get better than the Bible, but this puts it into mine and your terms we can understand what was going on with Lot. And this story was not mine, so I'm going to tell you where I don't get put in jail, where it come from. This come adapted from Louis Palou's Heart After God on page 68. That's where this quote comes from. It says, the reason Lot failed is illustrated by an event that happened on June 5th, 1976. I got thinking I was almost a year old. Rudy was 2 years old. On that day, under clear skies, without warning, the massive Teton Dam in southeastern Idaho collapsed, sending a torrent of water surging into the Snake River Basin. There was extensive property damage and loss of life. It seemed to happen so quickly. Some workers on the dam barely had time to run for their lives. But it really didn't happen suddenly. Beneath the waterline, a hidden fault had been gradually weakening the entire structure. It started with just a tiny bit of erosion, but by the time it was detected, it was too late. No one had seen the little flaw. No one got hurt by it. But everyone saw the big collapse, and many were hurt. And I pulled that story up, and that dam was built in 1972. And that amazed me how quickly the erosion took place. I'm not an engineer. I don't know about building much. I know very little about it, but I do know that's very quick for erosion to take place to destroy a whole dam. But I want to tell you something today. It can happen just as quick in our lives. Erosion can come, and we don't see it coming until it's too late, and boom, the whole collapse is coming. It starts very subtly, and it did in Lot's day. And the decline of Lot's life started in Genesis chapter 13, verse number 10. I want you to see this, how it started. I've gave you the background that how Lot had followed his uncle Abraham out as they began to sojourn, and God had promised them all the land, and they got in a little argument over their cattle. So here they are at this place. And it says, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt that cometh unto Zoar. It was a beautiful place. It looked like everything was just perfect. And, oh, I can imagine Abraham looking towards his side that he was going to get. And it was probably rocky and didn't have any water. And old Lot looked out and he said, you know what, Uncle Abraham, I love you and all, but I believe I got to go this way. Everything looks good down there. There's green grass and I see plenty of water and all this stuff going on. So immediately he began doing what Satan always gets us with, is the lust of our eyes. Always happens. Every fall that any man has ever began, that has ever happened, it began with lust of the flesh, which comes from us seeing something that we don't have. He always places that way. He done this from the beginning of time. Remember, he come before Adam and Eve, and he said, thou shalt surely not eat of all of this. God won't allow you to eat of these trees. And they said, no, he's told us one tree. And he says, he's holding back on you, Adam and Eve. He's not wanting to give you the good things. And Satan always plays a strategy with me and you. And dummies like we are, we fall into it every single time. We say, you know what? You're right. Boy, I'm missing out on this thing. I tell you, I need to go to where that green grass is. I've been over here where it's dry long enough. It's time for me to move on to the green grass. And here we go. We'll begin on our way. Headed down the path of destruction. He lifted his eyes and saw all the stuff, and And Satan showed it to him how green and how watered and all this. Have you ever noticed that he never, ever showed Adam and Eve the outcome? He never showed them the fall of man. People have to die and go to a place called hell because of sin. He never showed Adam and Eve that part. He only showed them what they was missing out on. And here he began showing Lot how pretty it was, but he never showed Lot the place that he would come to of being so far away from God that he would be willing to give his own daughters up to some evil men. Now, there's been much talk, and you begin reading about Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's some liberal people that will say, well, they were just any kind of sin as we're doing now and all this, and it was okay, and it really wasn't that bad. Let me tell you something. Sodom and Gomorrah was a very grotesque place. It was a place that when two strange men came in, all the men from all over the place come to know them, and to be plain with you, you know them is simply means to have sex with, just to be plain with you. That's what that meant. They had gotten to that point in their society, they were so caught up in this lifestyle that they had to have something new every day. Like sin is, it'll take you and bring you further and further down, and before long, it becomes a terrible place. So these men came in, and they seen that. And boy, did you notice what they said to Lot? Here you are, Lot, and these men came in. Can we have them? And Lot says, no, you cannot, but you can have my daughters. That's how far down he had failed. Now, if you notice something, they say, well, here he is now. He wants to become a judge. And you got to look at Lot's life of where he had gotten to. The decline had started. He lifted up his eyes. He saw how bad it was. And then he done something that me and you must do before our sight becomes sin. This is what he did. He made a choice because it looked like the best place. He made a choice. Had plenty of water, green grass, and all this good stuff. So, boy, he headed that way. You go down to Genesis 13, verse 12. It says he began going toward it, and he pitched his tent outside at first. I never really thought about this part. I'd always put Sodom. As soon as he looked at it, boom, he was there. But he didn't. He headed towards this place. Anybody that has ever gotten caught up in anything, if you talk to all the famous preachers that's gotten, some of them got caught up in affairs, and some of them stealing money and all these different things, or other great people. Ain't just got to be preachers. I just pick on us because I'm a us. But listen, everybody, every time somebody gets into something and comes to a great fall, I promise you it was a gradual descent. He looked toward it, and then he went toward it, and he pitched his tent outside of it. And you can't tell me that Lot did not know what was going on the other side. He did. He pitched his tent toward this thing, and he began getting comfortable. And I've said this a lot of times, that at first, when a certain sin we commit, it's not comfortable to us. Man, we'll commit this sin, we'll be in the altar, and we'll cry out, God, forgive me. And then we'll get up and we'll go do it again. And about the tenth time, don't even cross our mind we're sinning. It becomes so numb. This is what Lot was doing. He was headed towards destruction, but he was headed slowly. Just like that dam was, that thing was washing out. Every single day, and you got to understand something I failed to mention about that dam eroding. On the day it collapsed, it was a beautiful sunny day. Not a cloud in the sky. And all of a sudden, this thing gave away. And I forget how many homes was destroyed. And only 11 people was killed miraculously. But this thing happened slowly. Like Lot. He looked up. He headed towards there. He pitched his tent down there before he finally moved in. Then in chapter 19, we see Lot has moved in. You go back to chapter number 19 in the first part of it, and you see something that we may miss out on about Lot. The Bible says that when the men came to the gate, guess who was there? Lot. And listen, if you was at the gate of a city, this was a big deal. This wasn't like just some gate that was there. Gates and walls was put up to protect cities. And if you was to be at the gate, guess what you was? You was a judge. You was a political official. So Lot had become so ingrained in this sinful place of Sodom and Gomorrah, he had rose to the top of the political ranks. He was sitting there as a judge. That's why the men said, you come in here to sojourn, but lo and behold, you've took over. You've become a judge, and now you want to tell us that our sin is wrong, and you want to tell us we shouldn't be doing this, and we can't have those men. What in the world are you doing, Lot? You see, Lot had become so comfortable there that the men didn't see any different in Lot than anybody else. It can happen to us, men. We see the decline start. Now let me show you where it brought him. Lot had been around that field so long, he became so comfortable, and the Bible says that it vexed his soul continuously. 2 Peter 2 Peter chapter number 2, verses 6 through 8. You got to think about this. Now, this is New Testament. Listen to what it's saying about it. And turn the seas of Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. Every single day, vexed. You look up the word vexed, and if you've got a different translation, it might say something like troubled. It troubled his soul daily. He was daily troubled, the Bible says, because of this sin. But you know what I wonder, brother? If something troubles me too bad, I get up and leave. If I'm somewhere and I don't like something, you know what I can do? I can get up and go. But Lot couldn't because he'd got so ingrained there. He had daughters married there, apparently. We don't know what all he had there, but he was definitely ingrained in that society. But it says it vexed his righteous soul every single day. I want to think about you. How many times do you see something on a daily basis and you say, Lord God, have we come to this place in our country? We're all guilty of it. We'll see something on TV and we'll say, Lord, help us. We've come to that place where to sell a hamburger, we've got to have a half-naked woman on TV. And somebody watch a NASCAR race. Well, they got to have a NASCAR has now changed to Monster Energy. Boy, this is real good preaching on NASCAR. But listen, it's changed to Monster Energy. And I turned the TV on to watch the little race yesterday since I've been outside working so hard and cleaning up. And I'm just lying, not crazy. But listen, I turned the TV on. And listen, there's this girl standing there before. She had a bathing suit on. And I thought to myself, is this what we've come to? So people ain't enough to watch cars race. So now we got to have this for people to try to watch it. And you know, what I'm telling you today is even though it might have vexed my soul, it didn't bother me enough to turn that channel off. And that's what we've got into. We fuss about it. We preach about it. We complain about it. But bless God, we don't do anything about it. Amen. We fuss about it all the time. Our country has come to this. Boy, I can't even stand to turn my TV on, for this is on it. I can't even stand to do that. I got people. I know people that don't like a certain preacher or a certain show. And boy, they fuss about it all the time. And I think I want to tell them so bad. That thing's got a button on it. You can turn it off. I know a man that fusses about Oprah Winfrey. I don't even know if she's still on. He used to fuss about her all the time. And I always thought, why is he watching? It don't make sense. But when he said he was vexed daily. His soul, his righteous soul. You see, I believe what the Bible is telling us, that because Lot was a saved man, it was impossible for him to be around this stuff and to not know it was wrong. This stuff was going on even in the very streets of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was no secret. People weren't ashamed of it. They weren't ashamed of their sin. They were doing it openly. And Lot was around this mess every single day, and had become comfortable to it. That's the scary part for me, is that being around this junk, he had come so comfortable that he wanted to be a leader in that ungodly city. That's where it brought him to. Wanting to be there. Vexed daily, the scripture says. Says it was a righteous man dwell among them, in his seeing and in his hearing. All the senses was around this daily. Can you imagine what it must have been being a saved person in this place? And I know people that will argue and say, well, to live in that lifestyle, surely he couldn't have been saved. Well, guess what, brother? The Word of God says he was a righteous soul. He was a saved man. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. But it gotten him so far down, they lost all desire. He didn't even have a positive influence among his own family. You realize what the scripture says when he went out to tell his son-in-law that the thing is about to be destroyed. You know what they said? Ain't going to happen. Yeah, they said it was one that mocked him. They mocked him and said this thing ain't going to happen. Listen, church, today we become so ingrained with the world that we want to fit in, that we're afraid to stand out, that we tell them that Jesus is coming again and the sin they're doing is wrong and they're going to be destroyed for it and they'll spend eternity in hell, and they mock us today because they don't see any difference in our lives. That's the reason Lot's son-in-laws would not leave, because Lot preached this but he didn't live it. He told them about it but they didn't see a difference in his life. I want to ask you today, is the lost world seeing any difference in your life, or have you become so ingrained in this world that you fit right in, that you don't even stand out? That's where he'd gotten to. I want you to think about something else. If you go back a little bit, there was three people that came and visited Abraham and told Abraham that they was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible scholars I read about said that the three people was two angels and Jesus Christ. who came down to earth to talk to Abraham. And if you'll notice something else, when they came to the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was just two. There was two angels. Let me tell you something, Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot be around this sin. He will not be around it. He wouldn't even be around it there. But he cared about enough about Lot. He cared enough about that soul and that one. And he promised that he would never lose one. And that he sent those angels to drag that rascal out. But he himself couldn't be around it. He wouldn't fellowship with him. So he went. And he went to him. And he began telling him, say, hey, son-in-laws, you got to get out of this place. Because it's going to be destroyed. And they didn't pay any attention to him, just kept right on going like nothing had ever happened. I read this, and the scripture says that when the men came down to Sodom and Gomorrah, he told them, he said, for 10's sake, I will save this place. And guess what happened? He couldn't even find 10 down there. And people argue and say, well, how many children did Lot have? Listen, I don't know the answer to that, but I think it must have been enough that with the children of son-in-laws, there must have been 10. Because I believe it was talking about Abraham. So if there be 10 righteous there, that I will save that place. So surely they wouldn't even 10 there because it wasn't saved. We know that Lot, now this is where people get upset. They said, well, Lot didn't have but $2. You may see this differently than I do. But the Bible says he has two that was married. He had sons-in-law. To have son-in-law, you had to be married. The daughters had to be married. It said that the angel said, get your daughters and wife that are here. So he had daughters that was there that was not married. So I believe the number could have been 10 that he had with his family here. And even his family was not saved because of him. He had no influence. Gotten so entangled in it because he lingered. He lingered there. How sad is it today, church, that us as daddies don't have any influence because we have lingered around this sinful state, because we linger around all the junk that's going on in our nation, and we allow it to come into our house, and we don't have any positive influence on people, and so we just fit right in. And because of this thing, it has destroyed our nation. And we begin putting the blame everywhere. I bet if you come to Lot would begin saying, you know what? I live in the most awful place on earth. There's people that do this, people that do that, and man, they're just terrible. They don't care about nobody, and they partake of all these evil things and all this stuff, and I bet you not once did Lot sit down to think about, I'm the problem. The problem's right here. This is how far down it had gotten Lot. Did you realize what the angels asked him? Do you have any here besides? Do you have any here besides? Boy, what if he asked me and you that today? Do you have any here besides? Do you have any people in Heflin that if the angels come to destroy it, that they would be drug out because of you? Do you have any that you've witnessed to and told about the Lord Jesus Christ that has gave their heart to him? And because of this, they'll be saved at the day that everything's destroyed. Do you have any here besides yourself and the ones in your family? Boy, the sad thing about Lot is he didn't even have his family. And the angels ask him, do you have any here besides? Boy, I've thought about that thought all week, Brandon. How many do I have here besides the ones in my immediate household? Do I have any in my community besides my family? Do I have any there that I've made a difference in? Lot had been in Sodom and Gomorrah, and bless God, he hadn't made a difference in anybody's life because he got involved with this stuff, and he got so entangled. Got so entangled in it that he had to be drug out. Have you ever noticed this? The angels grabbed him by the hand and drug him out of that place. Drug him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd gotten so comfortable there, he didn't want to leave. He'd gotten so comfortable there, he had no desire to get out of that place. Even knowing it said it vexed his soul day to day, it was brought up to him and troubled him that he didn't need to be there, but still he lingered. And even when the angel said, boy, this place is about to be destroyed, the Bible says he lingered. They had to go grab him and said, we're serious about this thing. You must get out of this place. And that's just how serious the Word of God is today. One day this thing's going to be destroyed. And he's told us for 2,000 years that he's coming back again. And for some reason, people are still lingering. It's time to get out. It's time to get up and to leave. To leave that sinful lifestyle. And to go towards God where God had him. even when he began leaving. You ever notice where he began talking to the angels? Hey, what about we go to this little city up here in the mountain? It's not a big city, so you ain't got to worry about me getting involved with sin and all the stuff I was doing. So what about I just stay here? Boy, is that not just like me and you today? We'll say, God, I may quit this, but I can't fully give this up. I may stop a little bit and quit doing some things I've been doing that I know is wrong, but God, I got to hold on to just this little bitty thing. Nobody knows about it but me and you. I'm not hurting anybody but me and you. And that's the biggest bunch of bull that has ever been told, because when any sin hurts everybody around you, your community, your nation, it goes on and on. It hurts. Sin matters. That's where it brought him to. Let's get to where it ended. Genesis 19. Verse 30 through 38. You got to remember, he says he went up out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old. There's not a man on the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. We will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in, lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow, the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. Go thou in, lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. He perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. Boy, is it meaning something to you now? Called his name Moab, and the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benjamin, the same as the father of the children of Ammon, or Ammonites, unto this day. What happened? If you go all the way back when we started this thing, to a little bitty glance towards a place that was well watered with green grass, has now turned into the most awful sin can be committed between a father and a daughter. He had fallen that far from allowing his soul to be around this mess. Every single day had begun a gradual corruption, a gradual erosion that came to the place where he was up. And did you realize the lies that his daughters told? We must lay with our father. There's no more men. There was men everywhere. Just Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Maybe they didn't know that everything else was destroyed. I don't know. But we do know that Satan probably had showed them that this is the only way out. This is the only way you're going to ever have children. And like he is, he's the father of lies. He would show you anything to get you in a mess. And here he is. They got him drunk. He lay with his daughters. And what was conceived turned out to be the worst enemy that Israel has ever had. The Moabites and Ammonites. They fought for years. This happened because, wasn't because of a lost world. This happened because of a saved man who got himself entangled with the world. And he began eroding slowly, like the dam I spoke about. Began erosion slowly, and all of a sudden, boom, this thing burst. Water came down the hill, wiped out all the buildings and all the people. There was another dam that burst I read about this week. This one was close to home, Toccoa, Georgia. I had never heard about it. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all older people? 1977, a dam in Toccoa, Georgia. There was a Christian college, that may ring a bell, at the bottom of the river basin. And this dam had been there, and it had been raining, had rained 7 inches the night before. Now this dam had been built years ago. It had been slowly eroding. Volunteer firefighters went up at midnight to check on it. They checked on the dam and said everything looked good with the dam, but it's still raining, so we need to go warn the people. They got back down the mountain, got back down to where the people was, and was on the doors of some of the college students, lived in some mobile homes there beside the university. They went and knocked on the doors. As the volunteer firefighters was knocking on the doors at 1 o'clock in the morning, the dam burst. Killed more people in that dam explosion or dam erosion than did the big one at the Teton Dam. There was like 38 people killed in Georgia, Toccoa, Georgia. Volunteer firefighters was killed. He was knocking on the door, warning. You see, people had just went and looked. And everything looked okay. But it was raining. We see two contrasting stories right there. One was pretty new. It had eroded slowly. The other one was eroding over time. It took many years. But one big catastrophe blew the whole thing out. When the 7 inches of rain came, it exploded. It went. Our lives are a lot like that. They begin eroding slowly, and all it takes is one catastrophic event, and the whole thing bursts. The story I read about the dam, the writer started off with a man in his church had gotten involved with a woman in his church. And didn't start off a very big deal. It was an affair. Nobody knew about it. Before long, the husband knew about it. The thing ended in murder. And he was relating this to Lot of how it started off, a slow erosion, and how it wound up with a whole dam bursting. And 85, 80, or however many people was killed in the thing. Do you know what? There's many of us that find ourselves in the same place Lot is. We're vexed on a day-to-day basis. We have sinned. We find ourselves in a place, maybe right now in our lives, that we didn't ever think we could get. We thought because we were saved, we know we're saved, and we're God's people, that there's no way I'll ever get to that place. And then today we lift up our eyes when you hear me preach this sermon, and the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, and you said, oh me, preacher, I'm right in that place. What now? What now? Is our angel going to come and drag me out? Listen, he could. That's how much God loves you. But you turn to Psalms 51. I want to read to you. Psalms 51 about a prayer of forgiveness of a man named King David. Our kids, I saw Nate had on a crown, said he was King David. Listen, this is the prayer of forgiveness of King David after he committed the great sins that we read about, we preach about the sins of adultery, the sins of murder and all this. Listen to what he says. And this is where we've got to come if we want to get out of this terrible city of Sodom and Gomorrah. If we want to quit our soul being vexed and we've had enough of it, we're ready to get out, this is our prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done evil in the sight that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part of thou shalt make me know to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We'll stop right there for just a minute. Do you realize I told you that the angels asked Lot, did he have any here besides? The reason Lot was not winning lost souls for Jesus Christ in Sodom and Gomorrah, the reason we're not today is for this right here, because we're not clean. He says when he has a clean heart and he has the joy of his salvation is restored, then he will teach transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, and thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thy lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You see where David had gotten? He had gotten to a place of repentance. He realized he had lost the joy of the salvation that God had given him. You may be here today and you may know you're saved without a shadow of doubt, but you've gotten so vexed with the stuff of this world, there's not any joy there. You may have your spirit so dirty with the stuff of the world, you don't even think you can be clean again. You know, even Lot, in all his stuff he did there in that city,
We don't know a part of it, what he did. We just know he got custom there and got up to the top of the leadership there. But even in all that, I don't believe he committed the sins that David did. The sins of murder. The sins of adultery on his wife and all this. I don't believe he done that. But listen, David did. And David prayed this prayer. And after this prayer, it said of David, he was a man after God's own heart. A man that failed. A man that made mistakes. A man that got his soul so dirty that he was so far away from God. God impressed him to pen down Psalm 51. I've always loved that story, that scripture. Restore unto me the joy. You see, people misquote it a lot of times. You'll hear people say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. It's not yours. It's God's. Restore the joy of his salvation. We need to realize what he's done for us and that he's not done. He can still clean us. We may be in a place as bad as Lot was, but I think Psalm 51 ought to let us know something. We can get out. We can get out of that place. Don't wait until an angel has to grab you by the hand and drag you. And we know the story, how set in this place the family was, that his wife couldn't leave without turning around and looking back. Now, I know it would be hard because I believe she had daughters still there. I believe he had more than two daughters. I believe she had daughters there. Could have had sons there. It mentioned sons. I don't know. J. Vernon McGee, I read after him a lot in commentaries, and he says that she would probably play tennis with the women there. She was probably in the country club. She was probably went to all the, maybe went to some women's Bible studies on Tuesdays and Thursdays, he says. But she'd gotten so ingrained in that place of sin that when God even saw mercy to drag them out of there, she couldn't leave. You see, the reason she turned around and looked, her heart never left. It was still there. And I'm not sure Lot's ever left either. He desired to be close to that place. Boy, I tell you what I found in my life, the hardest thing is to give everything to God and let him put you in a place he has you to be in. You see, he was at God's mercy. God drug him out and was taking him. I believe God, if Lot hadn't opened his mouth, God would have took him to the place he desired him to be, and it would have been wonderful. But he opened his mouth and said, I want to go here to Zoar. I want to go here to this low city and lodge in a cave. Lot had became rich. Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost everything he had because of sin. He lost his family because of sin. And created two of the worst enemies Israel ever had because of the sinful place. I think God is telling us today, we better keep a check on the dam. You better keep a check on the dam. Men, it's so easy. Teenagers, it's so easy. Women, it's so easy. That Teton Dam, I just built in 72, and Google said this, that when people in the city began saying the Teton Dam has burst, people said, no, you're joking, it's brand new. It had only been built 5 years. There's no way it can be exploded. It wouldn't even rain. And it had, because of slow erosion. Today, I encourage you, take just a few minutes this morning as we come into an invitation hymn and inspect the dam. When the thing bursts, it's too late. You realize it's 2017. That dam burst in 1976, so over 40 years has passed by. Today, there's an empty 55, no, I can't remember how many acres it was. It was a big lake. An empty lake basin still laying there with nothing but mud. You can see the path of where the river cut when the dam blew out. Never rebuilt the dam. Never rebuilt it. Some of the people of the city don't want it built back. Too much memories. That happened, bad things happened there. But this place, 40 years later, still laying there with a burst dam with no water. There's men and women today who's in our churches. Many of them are not in our churches because of dams that have burst. And I wonder how many of them could have been solved. You see, I'm not blaming on the volunteer firefighter that went and looked at the dam in Tocoa. He wasn't a geologist or engineer. He didn't know. All he could see is what was on the top. And it looked good. The dam was holding up. He didn't know what was coming down. 7 inches of rain coming down creeks, flooding in. Listen, man, you may have a little crack there. You're saying it's not dangerous. this crack's not dangerous. I can stop it up anytime I want to. Just a little bitty crack. What happens if all of a sudden 7 inches of rain comes? One event could blow the whole thing out. Happened to many folks. As we stand today, we come to a verse of invitation.
I believe it said it was just as I am. That's a great song to take a look at our lives and see where we are.
You know what? If you need to come to Jesus Christ today, you don't have to worry about where you are, what you have, or what you don't have. You come just as you are. And when you come just as you are and you give your life to Him, then you'll leave different. But we have to come to Him just as we are. And as we sing, inspect your personal now. See if there's any personal.